Hi, welcome Concordia family to the Advancing Women in Leadership podcast. My name is Dr. Sheila Hanna. I am an assistant professor within the School of Health and Human Sciences within the MCAA program.
And my name is Lori Doyle, and I serve as the program director for curriculum and instruction in our MAED program, and also as an instructor for many of our courses. And it's my pleasure to be here with Sheila and Angela. And without further ado, I'd like to ask Angela to introduce herself and also describe your role here at Concordia.
Thank you so much, Lori and Sheila. I'm Dr. Angela Jackson, and I am core faculty in the Townsend Institute Master's Counseling Program. I was one of the first hired since the program began at Concordia University. And beyond, you know, the comprehensive role of faculty, which is teaching, obviously, advising students, meeting with students, I feel as though God has also called me to other roles, such as the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Chair, and that just started this year. So multiple roles. I've even been mentoring actually to new faculty that have come on board and participated in RAD conferences, even was on the RAD committee, mental health committee. So I think that kind of gives you a taste of what I've been doing here for these past approximately 4 years.
Thank you. Now, what is your preferred leadership style or experience that has helped advance your leadership walk?
You know, when I think of leadership, my leadership style, I think of action oriented. I tend to take on that role of responsibility, take on the role of doing things diligently, following through, completing tasks, and having a team that can help me do that. What I have learned in the process of growing into the leader God has called me to is to slow down and embrace people that you're leading and make sure you're having that connection with them. And not just to be in the moment, because you know, I think that leading is more than just accomplishing tasks. It's actually serving, you know, the people that are under you. And so you may take on roles that look like the roles of the people that you're leading, servant to, completing tasks that maybe are not, that you maybe used to do or you haven't done in a while. And so all of that, again, is part of the action-oriented perspective, but I think connecting with the people has been most fruitful. And I think I wanted to say something else too. Cultural competency, I mentioned that earlier, is a big part of who I am as a leader. So I am African-American, African-American woman, and I am comfortable with acknowledging that. A woman of faith, all of those are part of my identities. And so I bring that into my leadership approach with students, as the DEI coordinator, as a faculty member at the university, any role that I am a part of, that leadership piece kind of sticks out, even if I don't have the title. My approach includes cultural competency and educating others. You know what, I want to add one other piece, the clinician piece, I'm sorry. I'm also a licensed clinician in addition to a faculty member. So I also lead in that role as a private practice practitioner.
Our next question would be to ask if you have any specific goals or kind of a vision for your role looking ahead to the future.
Most definitely. So I am a faculty member, as I said, and I definitely want to walk at the highest level of that role. So definitely appreciate the opportunity to be considered for, you know, advancement in rank and doing all of what that means, accomplishing my goals and serving at the university and just being the best faculty member that I can be. Also, I think my professional goals also are tied to my private practice. Again, I am a clinician and I love therapy. So I would love the opportunity to have a group private practice. My focus of my practice, which you wouldn't be surprised, is cultural competency again. And I find that many clients, clients of color, clients that are diverse in other ways, will find that they have a connection to my approach with my private practice, acknowledging the cultural context of people and being present. So bottom line, that group practice will allow me to serve more people and also have more culturally competent clinicians in our society, in our field, and that includes cultural competency training.
Thank you so much, Angela, for that. As you mentioned, having servant leadership, as many of our faculty have as well, but then also mentioning your clinical side of things to where you want cultural competencies for people. And you want to make sure that diversity and inclusion are provided as well. And so that's something that we know Concordia University strives for. And
yes,
so thankful, as Lori mentioned, to interview you and have you a part of our team as faculty. So thank you so much for that information. Now I'll go ahead and move on to the next question. Even though you are not new to Concordia, is there anything we might not know about you? Maybe, let's say, a hobby or a talent, for example.
Well, I'm smiling because I feel like I have just a lot of interest, and some may not know. At Concordia, some may not know this. So one of the things that stands out is that I happen to love fashion. So I will call myself a fashionista, if you will, and any opportunity that I can create, coordinate fashion, my own, taking the time to do that is very fulfilling. And I love to do that with others. So for example, if a friend or even a coworker, if I was on campus, they say, you know what, why don't you help me get an outfit for this evening or something like that? I would love to help them with that journey. And also it could be spaces. So for example, if a person has a work environment and they're like, you know what, it's just not conducive to how I want to work or meet me, you know, meet my needs at work, the way my office is set up, I would love to investigate that and probe that. And it could also be rooms in a person's house. I just love all of that that comes with being a fashionista. So I kind of just took on that little, that term to identify my, I guess you would say hobby. Now, hidden talent, I do love music. And I, when I was much younger, you know, and actually in grade school and in middle school, I started with the violin. And actually, I learned it very well and quickly. And I wish I would have pursued it, but I ended up going into the clarinet section because that's where my friends were. And so to this day, you know, I didn't get a chance to complete that passion. And I'll be honest with you, when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have the resources to fulfill my music passion. And that's a little vulnerability that I'm sharing with the audience. And with that being said, I've never lost my passion for music. And so because it's so strong, and I do feel that I'm gifted with learning music and playing an instrument, I just have not moved back into that realm yet. So my goal, which is a part of the hidden talent, is to learn, take piano lessons and master it. And who knows, maybe one day at Concordia, you guys can ask me to play a chapel or something.
Angela, I just love learning. I love learning these things about you. And so what I've learned is that I would like to go shopping with you. And I encourage you to follow your goal for learning the piano.
Thank you.
Because I think that would be just wonderful for you. Your heart seems to really take to that. So I hope you do it. I hope you follow through with that.
Thank you for the encouragement.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing those fun bits with us. And another something that we'd like to learn from you for fun is if you have a favorite book that you could tell us about and maybe why it's a favorite book.
Okay, so you guys are going to start smiling again. So audience and Lori and Sheila, so let me say, Pearl Cleek C-L-E-A-G-U-E is her last name, and Pearl is the first name. Now, she has several books, but I was introduced to her as an author, novelist, playwright, when I was in my doctoral program. My concentration in my doctoral program was race and social policy. So I took a course on African-American women, and we read all these novels, and that's when I became fascinated with Pearl Cleek. Now, she has two books, and one of them, which I don't know if I even have it at my fingertips, but one that's probably going to make you smile because it just correlates to what I just said about fashion. The title of the book is, I Wish I Had a Red Dress. So her focus is community, African-American centered topics. Her characters are, you know, just community, professional, just everybody that might be in a community, African-American community. And so this particular book just had to deal with the main female African-American character. And this dress is just something that she wanted to incorporate into her personal life and, you know, as well as being a professional in the community. So anyway, the topic alone, the title alone tells you, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's what rings out to me when I think about the author, Pearl Cleek.
Very fun. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing about that.
Yes, sure. Thank you definitely for sharing that, because now I am interested in that book. Lori mentioned, awesome. I think we both want to go shopping with you.
I think the three of us need to go shopping, obviously.
We have to. I would
absolutely
love to.
Thank you again for sharing your favorite book and why. And yes. Question would be, what is a mantra or motto, or let's say a Bible verse by which you live by?
So I'm happy to be a connoisseur, if you will, of wisdom and phrases. So, and mottos. So there's so many that comes to mind. So one that I thought of recently working in our department at a meeting, to thy own self be true. It just really resonates with me at this time in my life. And so that's one. There's one by Emily Dickinson that I've never forgotten. I actually have it on a postcard that someone gave me, and it's Dwell in Possibility. So that gives you a little taste into a mantra. I have many Bible verses, but I think these right here that I just shared, these mantras or mottos are just very special to me.
Yes, absolutely. And I think having a collection of phrases and mottos and scripture that we can focus on is a good practice for all of us. Mm-hmm. We will go on to our next question, and we'd like you to think in terms of your younger self, and what advice would you give your younger self if you could go back?
Interestingly enough, I was asked this question recently, so I'm going to give the same response that I gave when someone else asked me. In this program at the Townsend Institute, Dr. Townsend talks about attunement and being present. And as a clinician, that's easy, you know, or that's what I have been trained to do, and it's so important. So for me, I would say, tell my younger self, living in the present moment is all you need. Don't borrow tomorrow's troubles, as the Bible says. Stay in what's going on today and manage that and just take all the joys and all of what that will unfold, even challenges, but keep it present.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Stay in the present.
Yes.
Because at times, as you mentioned, we may think about so many things that we may have to do as faculty or personal lives moving forward or in the future, but we don't know what our future holds. God only knows what our
future. That's right.
And so, as you mentioned, it is great advice to stay in the moment. So thank you so much for sharing that as well. Describe one pivotal time pre-COVID, either personal or professional, that changed the way you approach work-life balance.
Wow. You guys have some awesome questions.
And, thank you.
Yes, you do. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just enjoying, I appreciate, I'm so humbled by this opportunity to be a part of this interview. I would have to say, and I'm going to share vulnerably again, I think it's helpful and healthy for me when I do. It helps me be connected to people and authentically, which is what I strive to do. So for me, pre-COVID, I will say that I had major shoulder surgery. And I'm going to tell you, and whoever listens to this, I said, I will never have another surgery. God is going to have to let me know that I have to have a surgery before I have another one, because it was just the most traumatic experience I've had as far as seeing a doctor or having any kind of medical attention. And so with that being said, the recovery was just indescribable. And so I bring that up because it happened right before COVID. So it was like, forgive me, getting these years. I think the latter part of 2019, I had the surgery around Christmas, and then, you know, right into COVID the next spring. And then I will say this, learning what you need, back to that attunement again, and being in the present moment. And we had to, you know, be indoors. We can't do this. We can't do that. So I'm already struggling with the pain and the recovery, and not being near more family and friends. And so to make a long story short, because I guess you guys can tell, I do like to engage. So I'm the perfect therapist, I think, in that regard. But I learned you have got to say what you need, and you need family and friends, and you have to be near them. You're recovering from the surgery, but also with COVID, this isolation. So the biggest lesson, and if I don't want to get off topic with your question, but a way that I, personal professional way that's changed the way that I approach life and work-life balance is being near people who care about me, who love me, who value me, who want to show me all those things, being there for them, and then also me getting what I need from them, which means that I have to be vulnerable and say, you know what? I need you guys, which is what I did. So I am actually living, you know, near family with family in a way that I didn't before COVID. And my life has actually been so, I'm smiling inside the depth of love and support that I feel. And I will close by saying, when I started Concordia, I had recently lost my mom. And then I also was the caregiver, primary caregiver for my grandmother, who was 91 or 92 at the time. And my mother was her caregiver. So for me to come on board and to manage all of those things. And then when I finally came, my grandmother, I lost her while being employed here. I want to say it was 2018. Forgive me with all these dates. So you can see the pattern of things that were happening. And then for me to be, and all of us to be so isolated with COVID, you know, and then the shoulders are, it's just too much. And part of being called to do what God is calling me to do, one, he kept me through all of that at Concordia. And many probably didn't know, you know, what I was going through. And I needed that culturally competent therapist, which was a hard time finding one, which led me to eventually say, I must start this private practice and get it, you know, going, because I know how people are hurting from my own experiences. So anyway, I'm just more, it's much more of a better balance for me. And I love where life is taking me.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's just a beautiful testimony to the importance of community. So thank you for reminding us of that and the ways that you incorporate your work-life balance, or really incorporate that into your work-life balance. It's so important. And we are nearing the end of our interview, and we just want to ask one more question, and that would be if you have anything else you want to share with us, anything that you would like your Concordia community to know about you, Dr. Angela Jackson, even if it's just something, just a fun fact about you, or, you know, really, the sky's the limit. What's one more thing you can share with us?
Okay. You know, you guys are awesome. So I love the way that you you know, phrased that and gave me that little entree to share. Back to that authenticity again. So I will just close by saying, when I was a master's student, my career professor, Mark Savickas, was just phenomenal in the sense that he helped me to see my identity personally and into the path of being a counselor as a student in training. And so he gave me these three phrases that culminated who I am. And so just to remind the Concordia audience, I love to empower people. So a big part of who I am is empowering people to give them the strength and encouragement, but also to challenge them. That's what I know that God has called me to do. So remember that when you see me, meet me, hear anything about me, you know, when I'm on campus, I am deployed, but when I'm there, or even if I'm not on a webinar or something, know that about me. In addition to that, I'm an educator. So I love to educate. I automatically educate when I'm speaking to people. It just unfolds naturally. My dear mom was an educator for 30 something years, and she wasn't able to even enjoy retirement because that's when we lost her before that. But the point is, that's a part of my legacy, and I own that. And the last piece is embracing culture. So I love diversity. I love cultural competency. I love cultural context. So if I encourage you all to embrace each other and our culture, our cultural experiences, I feel like that's something that we can lean more into. I love Concordia University Irvine. And if you've met me, you probably can get that sense. But I also want more opportunities for cultural engagement and cultural dialogues and to have those conversations as faculty, as human beings, and to hear we are in our stories, because they do matter. So again, my professor, Dr. Mark Savickas, he put on my paper, which I still have, Angela, it's easy in explaining who you are. Empower, educate, and embracing others in that culture. So just remember that about me. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I don't think any of us could say it any better. So without further ado, I just want to say thank you once again on behalf of Advancing Women in Leadership here on Concordia's campus. And we wish you all the best, Angela, in your ministry here at Concordia.
Thank you so much. God bless you both.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.